Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another podcast. Very interesting topic today as AI and technology is becoming more and more maybe convenient, maybe more go-to for a lot of people. But we're finding out a lot, at least some of us are, about what AI does and doesn't do. And maybe we're finding out about some worldview issues as well. And I've got an expert to bring in to talk about this. His name is Calvin Smith. He is the executive director and speaker for Answers in Genesis Canada. Many of you are familiar with AIG, Answers in Genesis, and you know Ken Ham. Well, Calvin Smith works near in the Toronto area in Ontario, AIG Canada. There's the website right there. And he's done some amazing work. A lot of it Harbingers Daily picks up, and he's got a page over there at harbingersdaily.com. And that's where I heard about him. And he's been doing some fascinating things, revealing very interesting information about AI, about Grok, and we're going to get all that rundown when we bring him in. Calvin Smith, welcome to Worldview Matters. Good to see you.
Great to be here.
Yep. So first of all, AIG Canada, you're in Ontario. My wife grew up in Toronto. We were just there a couple months ago. How did you get connected with Answers in Genesis?
Well, I've been speaking on biblical creation apologetics for, well, I've been doing it for about 25 years now. So I've been here in Canada for quite some time speaking on the subject. And then about 8 years ago, through a friend of mine, we discovered that Answers in Genesis was looking to really just get established, get charitable status, get a bookstore, a book presence and stuff, really to get their resources throughout Canada. And so taking up on the opportunity, got together with Ken and the team down there. And then I had to go down and do a presentation so that they could see that I knew what I was talking about, supposedly. And it kind of snowballed from there. And here we are 8 years later. But yeah, so that's how it all got started.
So Calvin, I have interviewed a few people from Canada in mm-hmm. the past. And isn't it difficult to be open about your biblical faith, a Bible-believing Christian in Canada, because there's maybe some intolerance toward the biblical worldview? What can you share about that?
Well, absolutely. I think you're seeing it all over the world. I did one video that's posted on our YouTube channel right now, and I titled it "I'm Coming from Your Future," and I was doing it at the Creation Museum. And as a Canadian, I just presented what was going on here in our country. As in, look, we're just down the road a little bit further than you are in the U.S. And of course, the U.K. is just down the road a little further than we are here in Canada. So it's amazing how the Western world, once founded on Christian principles or Judeo-Christian principles, I guess, as some people call it, has now been totally overturned. And that's, of course, because the foundation that those countries were once set upon, which was biblical Christianity, has now been got a completely co-opted history. And that's, of course, the story of evolution. And that's what's taught in all Iran school systems and universities, et cetera. And that's been taught for many, many generations now. And so people are just living according to what they've been taught about their ultimate origins. And whereas years ago, they would answer the three big philosophical questions, where do we come from? What's the meaning of life? And what happens when I die? According to a biblical worldview, where do we come from? Obviously, God created. What's the meaning of life? Love God and love your neighbor. And what happens when you die? Well, it's heaven or hell, depending on your faith in Christ. Well, today it's, where do we come from? Well, pond scum billions of years ago. What's the meaning of life? There is no meaning to life. So just live and be happy and whatever you decide for yourself. And when you die, that's it. You'll just go back to the ground. There's fertilizer and you'll never have to worry about any kind of judgment. So that's the different foundation I think that people really need to understand.
You said a lot there, but isn't it sad how we have regressed, or the biblical worldview has declined, and there is now in North America or in the West this intolerance of biblical Christianity, the Judeo-Christian worldview, the Bible? Before I go on, Calvin, I want to make sure people know that you guys are on YouTube, and it's Answers Canada. If you go to YouTube, friends, Answers in Genesis Canada. They have a separate, its own website there, and that's where a lot of the videos, we'll probably be touching on a couple of them today, Grok Exposed and others. We'll be talking about AI. So Calvin Smith, AI assistants such as Grok, I didn't know what that was until I watched your videos. ChatGPT, I did hear of that. Carry an unsettling amount of influence in our society. And I think people are believing them because they think, oh, they hear the word intelligence, but forget the artificial part. They also forget that human beings, possibly with an agenda or with a worldview, program these AI machines. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, what really sparked my interest in exploring this, I think everybody's interested. They want to understand the technology. But we had a student email into the ministry, and they said, you know, I was recommended this Christian apologetics resource, wanted to know more about it. And so I asked ChatGPT to give me a rundown and give me a synopsis. So she printed out what it had said. And of course, it was a hit piece against the resource. And she got to the end and she said, so why should I trust these arguments if ChatGPT can easily shoot this down? Well, you know, I recalled a situation that happened in the office years and years ago, where I, being an older person, I was running around from person to person asking the answer to a question I was looking for. And this younger gal working the front desk, she kind of, you know, sarcastically said, well, Google knows. You know, and I thought, well, yeah, but where does Google get its stuff? And it's the same thing here with these AI bots. Is basically, if you think of her mindset, I've posed with a question or you know, an idea, I'm going to go ask ChatGPT. Why? Because supposedly it's this conduit of information from this vast repository of information. So whatever it says, it must be accurate. That's what was going on in her head. And I realized more and more people, not just young people, are turning to these AI sources as a source of authority. And, you know, for years, Answers in Genesis has been saying, look, the whole creation evolution debate is an authority issue, like everything else is. Are you going to put your trust in the authority of the word of God, or are you going to put it in the authority of man? And this is just another version of man's wisdom in a collected format put into a, you know, a really cool algorithm. But it's still programmed by people, and people have biases. I exposed.
Yeah, we all have biases, and it is an interesting. The Bible says the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. Did I just paraphrase a scripture? But yeah, it's man's wisdom, and that's what these are based off of. And usually, it's the secular progressive worldview, the anti-biblical worldview, and that's where a lot of these you know, tech guys come from. A lot of these developers. So let's talk specifically about your video that you put up. I think it was about 3-4 weeks ago. It says, "I convinced Grok God is real using math, science, and logic." So walk us through this, because people go to AI for answers. First of all, Calvin, what is Grok, and how did you get to the point where you're able to convince this AI entity that God is real? That seems fascinating.
Yeah, well, you know, our social media folks, they always want to put something provocative out there. I didn't convince Grok permanently. Okay. When I first started playing around with AIs, that's one thing I wanted to know. Like, if you were interacting with it and it concluded something, well, would then it keep that within its database? No, it doesn't. 2 days later, you get back on and you ask it questions and it reverts back to its consensus answers. So, I might have convinced it, so-called, during that conversation, okay. But it's not as easy as people think. It's not like convincing a person. So, in that scenario, what I did is, in my interactions with AI, what I found is that you would get different answers depending on how you pose different questions and so on. And so what I found is that if you could give it some stipulations. And so I thought, well, if you're trying to get unbiased conclusions, obviously sticking to strict logic, mathematical probability, and observational science is probably going to be the golden standard for, you know, getting consistency in the answers. And so that's what I started doing. I came up with lists of questions I wanted to ask these AIs. and always started the conversation by saying, treat me as a first-time user. Because as you interact with these AIs, they will remember the conversations, so to speak, they've had with you, unless you kind of clear the cache, so to speak. So start as a first-time user, no former interactions. Math, logic, and observational science. And then I would also tell it, and you can hear it in the video, to say, please don't give me any answers according to any kind of specific ideology or worldview. Belief in God, belief in atheism, agnosticism, or even consensus science, because consensus science has gotten it wrong before. So yes. Unless it conforms to strict logic, math, and operational science, that's all I'm looking for. And it says, okay, no problem. And then I proceed to ask it questions. And I asked it questions about the mathematical probability of a life forming through just random chance processes in a 4.5 billion year old, supposed Earth. And it basically just spits out the equation and just says, well, that's like mathematically, it's not even realistic in a real time scenario. Asked about evolution itself. And so some pretty revealing things that it would go through. And then, of course, the big payoff at the end is I then say to it, okay, treat me like a first time user. We've never had any interactions. And I ask you, what's the best scientific explanation for life? Oh, abiogenesis, chemical evolution. We came from non-living chemicals. And of course, then evolution took over. Wow. And that's where everything things came from. So I reveal in real time, because this was a recorded conversation, uninterrupted. Some people have actually complained because there's long gaps sometimes between when I ask it a question and it answers. But I wanted to do that for authenticity. The only thing we did, of course, is we added that little talking head in there digitally just to make it a little interesting. So I'm not just talking to my phone. But I think that's the interesting thing. Just before we move on, I did three of those videos. Those are posted. Those are Talk with Grok. And then starting this coming Friday, so tomorrow, we've got a series coming out called A Chat with Chad. So ChatGPT-5 just dropped, just like Grok 4 dropped when we did those interactions. And you can pick different voices, of course. And one of them is called Chad, and he kind of sounds like Chad. He's this smooth-talking guy. And so I did three talks with Chad, and those will be starting to be released over the next 3 weeks. So it's a chat with Chad from ChatGPT instead of a talk with Grok. But they're very interesting, too, and I reveal some pretty, pretty interesting stuff.
Okay, so I want to reiterate something that you shared, that by after you had Grok admit to certain things based on the parameters. And by the way, I don't think a lot of people understand that you can give AI parameters, right? Yeah. I didn't understand that either. But by the time you got to the end of the conversation, you asked it again as if you never had any interaction. It reverted back to evolution and a biogenesis. Can you explain?
Abiogenesis. Yeah.
Can you
life coming on life. Yeah.
So I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but you also said consensus science.
Right.
Consensus. But that's just, it has nothing to do with truth. That's just a majority of scientists maybe are atheists. Can you explain that in light of evolution?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you go to a local school in the Western world, what are you going to be taught as fact and science
evolution.
About origin of life? You're going to be taught abiogenesis, life came from non-life, which, by the way, you can call it chemical evolution, you can call it abiogenesis, you can call it whatever you want, but it actually breaks one of the most established scientific laws that we know of, which is life has only ever been shown to come from life. So if you believe in chemical evolution, you actually are against science. Because you believe that one of the most established scientific laws has been broken in the past with no observational evidence of it. So you're not being very scientific in your worldview, by the way. But anyway, consensus science just means what's taught in the local schools and universities, which, of course, Answers in Genesis has been pointing out for many, many years, is not true science. It's a story about the past based on facts, which can be better interpreted according to what the Bible actually says. So, for example, the second talk with Grok, when I'm speaking to it about rocks and fossil formation, I start off and I ask it, what is the common paradigm in geology? What's the name? Uniformitarianism. I ask it, what, explain uniformitarianism. It says that the processes we see occurring today have always been slow and steady processes. I say, explain fossil formation in uniformitarianism. It says a creature dies and it gets slowly buried and turns into a fossil. I then say to it, isn't it true that an organism needs to be buried rapidly and completely in order for it to become fossilized? It says, oh yes, well, that's true. Well, you can't both ways, right? Because we all understand that unless an organism is buried rapidly and completely, it's not going to fossilize. I then ask it about 30-foot tall trees, for example, in Joggins, Nova Scotia, Canada, where my wife is from Nova Scotia. And you can go see tree-like plants, 30 feet tall, extending through the sediments. Well, how did that tree stand around for supposed millions of years in the old universe? Right. So I ask it, well, what's the most logical conclusion? Well, it got buried rapidly. Okay, well, there's 900 hectares of rock formation there in Joggins, which means it all must have been covered very, very rapidly within days, and it gets to admit it. And so, again, if you already know the answers to the questions when you're asking these things, great, you can get it to actually admit some things.
Yeah.
But if you, and you're just like every other, just like me, growing up in Canada, I was your typical Canadian kid. I came from an unchurched family, never read the Bible, went to school. Guess what they taught me? By the time I was 15, I was a very hardcore atheist in my thinking, and the things of God meant nothing to me because it was just religious. And science had disproven the Bible. That's the way I thought growing up. And that's what the majority of people will do because of consensus science.
Wow. Thank you. Great explanation. And I want to get a little bit more about your background when we come back. We're with Executive Director of Answers in Genesis Canada, Calvin Smith. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. So Calvin Smith, Answers in Genesis Canada, we are going to get to how it concluded that the odds are so against the possibility of evolution, it was virtually impossible. We'll have you explain that in a minute. Before we do that, share a little bit more, because it's interesting to me. Canada, I mean, maybe you're a step ahead when it comes to atheism, but America is going that way. Biblical worldview is decreasing. In the church, biblical literacy, or I should say illiteracy, is off the charts, unfortunately. And this is where North America is. So share what happened. How did you become such a strong believer?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the reason why you're watching your country do what all the Western countries have is because of the conformity to this atheistic worldview. You know, you take some of the top so-called Christian apologists like William Lane Craig, he's a fully committed evolutionist. He believes Jesus used billions of years of death, suffering, pain, and disease to create, called it very good, all before Adam sinned. Oh. In relation to Genesis. That's his interpretation because of what the world's taught him. Wow. So, you know, and he's touted as our greatest Christian apologist. But anyway, someone like myself growing up, as I said, you know, by the time I was 15, I was fully convinced humanist and evolutionist. And so, you know, when people would try to witness to me and, hey, Cal, you want to go to my Bible study? I was like, nah, no, I'm good. You know, whatever, you want to go to my church. And, you know, I was fairly polite, but if you kept persisting, then I was going to get in your faith, you know, and I'd be like, okay, so you believe the Bible. Like, explain how dinosaurs fit into your Bible, man. Like, you believe the Bible, some story about some guy who got two of every animal on a boat. It must have been a big boat because there's millions of species of animals on the planet. So it's kind of interesting that the very questions that I end up answering now as an apologist were the questions that I had that were just simply unanswered. And most Christians that I encountered, they would just tuck their tail and run away until I was invited to hear a man speak. And the only reason I went to the church service is because I respected him. I knew him casually from business. He was a pretty intelligent guy. And so I went there with my clipboard and my, pen and paper, very skeptical. And I thought he was just going to be pounding the pulpit and shouting out Bible verses or whatever I'd seen on Christian TV. He had a medical background. He'd studied Origin of Species, and he gave some very good apologetic arguments. Now, I didn't get saved, but I walked out of that service just really like, well, wait a second, because I've always been able to follow an argument fairly well. And so he really did a lot of damage to the story of evolution. I'd never heard anything critical about it. And of course, over the next year, I was really thinking, well, if evolution doesn't stack up, what's the only option? Well, there's got to be a God. There's got to be a creator. So I went a year later to hear the same man preach. And again, he did some apologetics, but apologetics doesn't save anybody. It's the gospel. It saves people. Yeah. So at the end of his speaking, he talked about God's law. And I fell under conviction. And then he gave a very interesting gospel presentation that's probably not pure theology, but it made sense to where I was at because I'd never been to church or read the Bible. And he said, picture on the day you're born, it's like an invisible camera comes into being and it starts recording everything you do and you say and you think and all the things you do when you don't think anybody's looking and all that stuff. And when you die, you stand in front of God and God's like, well, I was taking it personal at this point. So it's like God shows up and says, hey, Cal, how you doing? What we're going to do is sit on this warm, comfy couch here, and we're going to play the tape of your life in slow motion and see if you're good enough to be with me in eternity. And I was sitting there under massive conviction. I was just like, man, I wouldn't want to do that with my mom, let alone God, And he said, but see, if you're a Christian at that point, it's like Jesus comes along and says, no, Father, don't play his tape. Play mine instead as a substitute. And base your judgment on my life, the perfect, sinless Son of God. And that's the first time I ever understood who Jesus was, what his mission was, what he came to do. Prior to that, Jesus was a swear word to me. And so I got saved and integrated into a church and eventually came to realize it wasn't just me that had been bamboozled by this whole story of evolution. As I started to work with Christian youth and so on. And so that's how I became eventually an apologist, teaching against some of the things that I used to believe.
That's amazing. Thank you. I know you had to condense that for us, but two things. First of all, we do have viewers in Canada, and I hope you know the website, friends, answersingenesis.ca, and also over on YouTube, the Answers Canada. So, Cal, one thing you said, we don't have enough time, I don't think. You said something very interesting that you never heard anything critical of evolution. I'm sure that happens in maybe North America. But let's go on to something from one of the articles that Grok AI not only admitted that the theory of evolution is effectively impossible, the AI assistant also concluded that intentional creation of life by God is the most probable. In the last 5 minutes, walk us through that, please.
Sure. Well, first of all, I ask it to give me the mathematical probability of any naturalistic chaining mechanism known, observational, to chain together a series of chemical letters, i.e. DNA, but any chemical letters, that could spell out all of the minimal amount of genetic information required to build even the simplest living thing we can imagine. And it just spits out, well, the mathematical probability, even in 4.5 billion years, is just, it's beyond possible in any realistic format. And in my video that's coming out tomorrow, I kind of redid that version because I wanted to redo it in chat because we'd been challenged. Well, maybe chat will be harder on these crazy creationists than Grok was. And so I explain it this way. Let's say you're looking for a target sequence. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. And you want to spell out all those letters to get that target sequence. And that is going to now code for this living thing. The problem is as every one of those letters is equally susceptible to being one of the letters that gets changed or added, then the closer you get to the target sequence, the more probabilistic it is that one of the ones that's already sequenced properly is going to be the one that gets changed, which is going to undermine your whole process. So if you get Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was, you get all those letters in a row, and then you've got to complete the sequence, but there's an equal probability of any one of those letters being changed, it's more probable than your more complete sequence is going to get changed than the non-created one. And so mathematically, it just is self-destructive. And yet in schools, Students will hear, well, we have many, many solid leads on how this might have happened. No, they don't have a clue. Exactly. So then when you say, well, that's an unguided process. If an unguided process is impossible in a realistic sense mathematically, what's the most probable explanation for life according to logic, mathematical probability, and observational science? And it says, well, an intelligent designer. That's the most logical. And then I say, well, if every living thing on the planet is evidence of a designer, does that not mean that the evidence for an intelligent designer is simply overwhelming? And it says yes. So that's all logic and math, and the only thing that our critics are getting in the comments section is saying, well, you hamstrung the AI by asking it to stick to logic, math, and observational science. It's like, well, that's the golden standard for science, isn't it? So anyway, encourage people to watch the interaction, because I think it's quite revealing, especially at the end where when I get it to revert and just ask it to explain where life came from, it just goes right back to abiogenesis.
It's fascinating, which this, I hope, of one of the things people get out of this interview is the pitfalls of AI and what to be careful and be aware of when we're going in. Last question. This is from the article over at the Christian Daily International. Toward the end, it says Elon Musk has promoted Grok 4 as surpassing most PhDs in academic performance across fields. But tell us why this assumption even Musk says this surpasses the PhDs. But what you've revealed is very interesting. Mm-hmm. So share your final thoughts on this, Calvin.
Right. Well, it's just a collective of information. I was doing an interview with Living Waters, and one of them asked me, well, will these AIs become smarter than people? Well, I mean, I could pick up my calculator and I could say, well, my calculator is smarter than I am as far as figuring out math. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But is it really smarter than me? It's just it can compute things, and it's just a tool. That's what AI tools are as well. Yeah. What's been very interesting is the people that have been reaching out to me. So Dr. James Tour, who is just a brilliant, brilliant scientist. You can look up his YouTube channel. He's got more credentials. And I understand PhD, but beyond that, I couldn't even understand what some of his credentials were. But anyway, he's contacted me, and we're going to do a joint video where he asks it questions and I ask the AI questions together. And he's an expert PhD in his field. So if people want to see some, a little dumpkin like myself, I don't have a science credential, but they want to see interact with an actual scientist who's an expert on origin of life, they're going to get the opportunity to do so. So stay tuned for that video as well for people who subscribe.
Thank you so much. Again, Answers Canada over on YouTube and Answers in Genesis. .ca, harbingersdaily.com. Calvin Smith, fascinating topic and a lot more to talk about. So Lord willing, we can do this again. Thanks for your time today, sir.
Thank you, brother.
Friends, we appreciate you watching and especially sharing the podcast. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.